again, we want to continue to remember Brother Brad in prayer and also Sister Titus. I do continue to remember Brother Hall in prayer. He's doing very well. Just continue to pray for him. I do continue to pray for Trevor and his needs and Sister Carol Andrews, and pray for Garth's mom. She is improving, but continue to pray for her. Continue to pray for Sister Stone's family, Sister Ruth Ann's nephew, and of course we'll remember Charles Durham in prayer, and also Tim Young. Again, everyone's invited on the 4th to Brother Mark Smith and Sister Ruth's house between 6 and 7 o'clock. Do let them know tonight if you plan on coming, and also see them about any food that you can bring as well. So if you can remember just to let them know if you plan on coming, and also services at Liberty on Saturday as well from 10 to noon, and then a time of fellowship after. So remember these things. Okay, we want to continue looking at church covenant. Probably do so for another 2 weeks after tonight. We're in the next to last paragraph, which really is a paragraph that concerns one another, how we are to treat one another. It's a pledge about keeping a relationship between one another, and the spirit of this, as stated, is in brotherly love. We looked last week that we're to watch over one another. We're to do so in brotherly love. We're to remember one another in prayer. And then what we want to look at tonight, to aid one another in sickness and distress, to cultivate Christian sympathy in feeling and Christian courtesy in speech. Again, this is a pledge that we have toward all the members of the church, not just those in our inner circle, but all the members of the church. So there's a pledge here, first of all, to give aid to one another in times of sickness, in times of distress. And of course, there will be times of sickness in the lives of members of the Lord's churches. And there will be times of distress as well, that is, times of agony, times of heartache and heartbreak, sorrow, grief, adversity. So the very words, sickness and distress, speak of need. Those two words speak of needs that arise in the lives of all of God's people. And in such times as of need, every member of the church has a privilege. Every member of the church has an opportunity and also a responsibility to aid one another. Again, it's a pledge to be of assistance. To give aid is to assist. So it's a pledge to be of assistance. It's a pledge to give support. When you give aid, you are supporting. It's a pledge to help. It's a pledge to supply relief. Really, it's a pledge to show love one to another. It's a pledge to friendship. It's a pledge to make a difference in the life of another member in the church. So what is required to render this aid or to be of assistance to others? Are there special gifts that we have to possess? Are there certain things that we have to own in order to be of aid or assistance to someone else? I don't believe that this is dependent upon spiritual gifts. I don't believe that you need special spiritual gifts in order to be of help to another. You don't have to have a special position in the church to be of help to one another. You do not have to have a certain amount of money to be of help to one another. Even if the need is money, you do not need money to be of help or assistance to someone. So in order to be consistent, in order to be a consistent help, and that's what we want, where this isn't to help somebody whenever it's convenient for you to do so or whenever the mood strikes you. It's to be consistent. And in order to be a consistent help to others, the first thing that an individual must have is compassion. And that's the problem many times, is it's not that someone doesn't have time. It's not that they're not able. It's that they lack compassion. You have to have compassion if you're going to be of aid to others. Compassion basically is sympathetic concern. Sympathy is to have the ability to put yourself in the place of another individual. So it's sympathetic concern. And compassion is something that will move you to act. It will move you to do something. Notice in the book of Matthew, chapter 9, book of Matthew, chapter 9, verse 36. But when he saw, that is Jesus, when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion. And I believe there's a difference between, if it just said if he had compassion, there's a difference between he was moved with compassion. It is, he was, because of his compassion, he was moved to do something. He was moved with sympathetic concern. In chapter 14 of Matthew, chapter 14 and verse 14, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And what he was moved to do in this case was he healed their sick. But once again, he was moved with compassion. Then notice in chapter 18 and verse 27, chapter 18, verse 27. Then the Lord of that servant, this is a parable, was moved with compassion and loosed him. That is, he acted. Compassion moved him to do something and forgave him the debt. And then notice in Mark chapter 1 and verse 41. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him, that is this leper, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. So in order to be something more than just help when we feel like it and offer aid when it's convenient, there has to be compassion. You see, because compassion will move you even when it's not convenient. Compassion will move. Another thing, in order to be a consistent help to others, we must have an awareness of need. We have to be aware of other people's needs. Now, in order to be aware of other people's needs, you have to observe. You have to observe people. You have to be observant concerning the needs of others. You have to look for it. And this, of course, is a branch, I believe, of being our brother's keeper. Are we really our brother's keeper if we shut our eyes to their needs. Well, of course not. That's not much of a keeper. To be our brother's keeper requires that we observe, requires that we are aware of needs. And again, it shouldn't be that someone should always have to tell us this person has this need and this need. A lot of times if people would just listen, and if they would just open their eyes and get their eyes off themselves, they could see that others have needs. So there has to be an awareness. And again, this means that you have to be thoughtful. This means that you have to be considerate of one another. You have to think that perhaps someone has a greater need than me. And it's even if I have a need, my need's not the most important. And you have to consider these things. Again, this requires that one move beyond themselves. And therein lies the problem with why people are unaware many times, is because they are incapable of moving beyond their life. They're incapable of moving beyond their own little circle. They have certain individuals in this circle, and they keep those individuals, they watch over those individuals, and they observe nothing outside of that little circle. But you see, this is a pledge to aid one another. That's all the members. And I realize some are closer to others, that some are closer to some than others. There's no doubt about that. That's human nature. But that doesn't do away with the pledge. The pledge isn't just for certain individuals. It's regarding all the members of the Lord's church. Jesus, of course, was quick to discern the needs of others. And he was quick to respond to the needs of others. So we have to be observant. We have to look for ways to help. When you know there's a need, you have to look for a way to help. You have to ask yourself, what can I do to help this individual? Perhaps all you can do is pray, but perhaps you can do something more than that. So we have to consider. In order to be a consistent help to others, we have to be willing. We have to be willing to put ourselves in a position so that we can be of assistance and help. A good example, of course, is the parable of the Good Samaritan. Notice in the book of Luke, and we'll read this parable. It's very familiar. Luke chapter 10. But we have to be willing to put ourselves in a position to help someone. And many are not willing to put themselves in a position to be of help. Because to put yourself in a position to be of help, you may have to deny your plans. You may have to change your plans. You may have to do something that perhaps there's something else you would rather do. But you have to be willing to put yourself in a position to be of help. In Luke chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus answering said, "A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, wounded him, departed, leaving him half dead." There's the need. This man, without a question, had a need. We see that by chance there came down a certain priest that way. When he saw him, he passed by on the other side. He saw the man, he saw that he had a need, but he was not willing to put himself in a position to be of assistance. In fact, he went out of his way so that he would not be in a position to be of assistance. He passed by on the other side. We see as you go on in the parable, likewise a Levite. He comes. He came and he looked on him. That is, he got a little closer to the man who had fallen among thieves, and he looked on him. He didn't just see him, he looked on him. That is, he stood there and looked at him for a while. So this man was even more aware of the need. But again, he was not willing to put himself in a position to be of assistance. So he goes to the other side of the street. Now, both of these men, in their minds, I guarantee you, now we realize this is a parable, but both of these men, in their minds, had good reasons to pass by on the other side. Both of these men, in their minds, had something they would rather do, something that they thought was more important than the man who was lying in the ditch. But neither one of them were willing to put themselves in a position to be of help, to be of assistance. We have to be willing to put ourselves in position. We cannot always be in that position because we're human. We can't be everywhere at once. So everyone needs to realize that no individual can always be in that position to help you, to offer you assistance. But we ought to be willing to put ourselves, at least to stop and consider, can I in any way put myself in a position where I can help this individual right now? And the problem is, I believe, many times people don't even think about it. They don't even stop and consider it. They've got plans. They're supposed to be somewhere. And on it goes. And we're busy. And everybody's busy. But when it comes their turn to be sick, guess what? They want the whole world to stop. And everybody to be there. But again, we have to be willing put ourselves in position. We see the Samaritan, verse 33, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Now, you do not read that about the priest or the Levite, and there's the problem. There's the problem. The reason the priest and the Levite did not put themselves in a position to help this man is they had no compassion for him. They didn't feel anything for this individual. They had no sympathetic concern for him whatsoever. And that's sad. That is truly sad if that happens in the Lord's churches. When a person or people can have no sympathetic concern, not enough sympathetic concern to at least put themselves in a position to be of assistance. So he came where he was, he saw him, he had compassion on him, and because he had compassion on him, he went to him. There he is. He's putting himself in a position to be of assistance to him. The priest and the Levite, they passed by on the other side. This man went to him. He now has put himself in a position where I can help, where I can be of assistance, where I can offer some support for this individual. So in order to be a consistent help, in order to be a consistent assistance to others, we have to be willing to take the necessary steps to be of help. If you can't even take the necessary steps in order to help someone, you're not going to help them. You have to put yourself in a position to help. In order to be consistent to help others, we have to be willing to take the time to do so. Again, the priest and the Levite were not willing to invest the time necessary to help the man who had fallen among thieves. One might think, well, the priest and the Levite, they were busy individuals. The Samaritan, he didn't have anything else to do, so he stopped. That's not the case at all. The Samaritan had compassion. That's why he stopped. He didn't stop simply because he had the time to do so. We don't know if he had the time to do so or not. He took the time. And that's what compassion will do. It will cause you to take the time. People say all the time, well, I don't have the time. We all have the same amount of time. It really comes down to what we're willing, and we all invest our time every single day. And we choose. And I realize people have to work, and I realize all those things. But we have to invest the time necessary to be of help, to be of assistance. A lot of times people will say, well, if I can do anything, just call. And you know they're thinking, please don't. Or I sure hope they don't. Or they'll say that, if you need anything, just call, and then they won't answer the phone. But just call. That's all you have to do. I'm just a phone call away. But they don't have their cell phone with them, or they don't answer their phone, or whatever. So we have to be willing to take the time. To take the time that is required, and it's going to require some time. If we're going to be of assistance, if we're going to be of support, if we're going to be of help to someone, it's going to take some time. And I believe that time is the most valuable thing that you can give anybody. You can give somebody money, but you can go out and you can earn more money. You can get more money somewhere. But you cannot get time anywhere else. It's gone. I mean, when you invest time with somebody, you've invested something that you can never, ever, ever get back. So it's one of the most precious things that we can invest is time. And again, it does take time. We may have to take time away from ourselves to be of assistance, to be of help. In order to be a consistent help to others, one must be willing to use the resources they have to be of help. Again, the parable of the Good Samaritan. The priest and the Levite, neither one of them used the resources that they had to be of help to the one who had fallen among the thieves. Their attitude seems to be, what is mine is mine. And a lot of people have that attitude. Sad to say, a lot of God's people have that attitude. It's mine. Nothing's yours. It's all God's. And we're always in trouble and it's always a bad spirit when we say, what's mine is mine. It's mine. You see, that's what little children say. It's mine. It's mine. And that's what adults say too, immature adults. And that seems to be the attitude of this priest and the Levite. I'm not going to give this man anything. What is mine is mine. But the Good Samaritan, his attitude seems to be, what is mine is yours. And he was willing to share his resources. Notice in verse 34, he went to him, bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. That is, pouring in his own oil, his own wine, set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And then he went even further. On the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. This man used his resources. This man used his money. This man used his time to be of help to the individual. Why did he do this? Why was he willing to use all of these things? Because he had compassion upon him. And that's what it all comes back to. It all comes back to compassion. Notice in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 28. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, not that he may be able to pay his bills. That's not what it says. That he may have to give to him that needeth, so that he can have some resources to be of help to someone else. And there's a warning. Notice in 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 17. 1 John 3 verse 17. But whoso hath this world's good, And as he has some resources, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So we have to be willing to use our resources. You say, well, I've saved this for such and such, and that's my intent to use it for that, and too bad. Again, we have to get beyond ourselves, and somewhere along the line, compassion has to move us. The Samaritan, when he stopped by and helped this man, did he not make a huge difference in that man's life? He certainly did. The priest and Levite, they didn't make any difference in this man's life. But the Samaritan made a difference in his life. You think back of all the times that you've had need, whether it's physical, material, doesn't matter. You think back of all the times that you've had need and someone was of assistance to you. They may not have made a difference in your entire life, but they made a difference in your life that day. They made a difference in your life at that moment. And that's what compassion does. And that's what we ought to be interested in doing. That is, aiding one another that we can make a difference. Every member ought to want to make a difference in every other member's life. To somehow make their life better. To somehow, just because they knew us, their life is better. That should be the case with every single church member. Again, not just those in our little circle, but every single church member. You ought to desire to make their life better. Notice in the book of Jude, verse 22. Book of Jude, verse 22. And of some have compassion, making a difference. Making a difference. Compassion makes a difference. To be of aid, to be of assistance to someone makes a difference. But you have, it's not a matter of what you have. It's a matter of, are you willing to use what you have? And that all depends upon compassion. In order to be a consistent help to others, we must be willing to give of ourselves to some degree. We live, of course, in an age of unbelievable selfishness. And you have to, if you're going to be of assistance to others, then you have to be willing to give of yourself. Your time, your resources, your energy, your strength, you give of yourself. And Jesus, of course, is our example in Matthew chapter 20 and verse 26. But it shall not be so among you, but whosoever will be great among you, let him be your minister, your servant, one who ministers to your needs. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your servant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And a lot of people are interested in being ministered unto, but they have no desire to minister. And we see here that Jesus Christ, of course, in ministering, literally, physically, gave his life. And that's what's required. in order to be of consistent help to others, you have to be willing to give yourself, even your life. Notice in 1 John chapter 3, we already read verse 16, verse 17. We'll read verse 16. 1 John 3, verse 16. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he, Jesus, laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. We ought to be willing to give our life. And I'm sorry, but I don't believe someone is willing to give their life if they're not willing to give 5 minutes. I don't believe it. We have to be willing to even give of our lives. And that is a manifestation of the love of Christ. Then notice in the book of Hebrews chapter 6. Again, it must be our objective not to be ministered unto. There's a lot of people. They get their feelings hurt. They quit church. They get all bent out of shape because they were not properly ministered unto. They have the wrong attitude. Not saying it was right that they were not ministered unto, but that is the wrong attitude to have. They are living to be ministered unto rather than ministering. Hebrews 6, verse 10. For God is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love. And that's what it ought to be. It ought to be a work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister or do continue to minister. Now notice, this is a labor of love which ye have showed toward his name. And the way they showed this labor of love for Christ was that they ministered to the saints and that they do minister. In other words, they continue to do so. This was not some occasional thing. It was a continual thing to minister to the needs of the saints. Also, in order to be of consistent help to others, we must have a spirit of humility. Pride will never, not in the right spirit anyway, be of help, be of assistance to others. There has to be humility. There has to be a spirit of humility. In order to be of consistent help, you have to do so freely. You do so freely. You say, well, I don't go and help somebody and say, by the way, you owe me $6. There's other ways of charging. Keeping score is not giving freely. Well, when you were sick, I was over at your house 3 times, and when I was sick, you were only over my house 2 times. You didn't do it freely. You're keeping score. All aid should be free. It's free. That means that we don't, because we did something for them, we don't expect them to do something in return. If you do, it's not free. You might as well just go ahead and charge them. Matthew 10, verse 8 says, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. Freely ye have received, freely give. Don't keep score. Because I've known a lot of scorekeepers in my life. And I have never known one yet that keeps it correctly. They don't keep it correctly. Their vision is very skewed. So don't keep score. Husbands and wives fall into this trap all the time. Keep score. You cannot have any kind of meaningful relationship with anybody if you're interested in keeping score. And people that keep score are selfish, plain and simple. And they lack compassion. So in order to be of consistent help, we have to do so freely. And then also, in order to be of consistent help to others, We have to make sure that our help is not a hindrance. You ever had someone help you and ended up really being more of a hindrance than help? And I realize sometimes the people meant well and it just turned out that way. But at other times, they didn't think. They just plain didn't think. They wanted to do what they wanted to do. It didn't matter what you needed. They already decided what you needed, and they've already decided how they're going to help, and whether that's a help to you or not, too bad. And it ends up being more of a hindrance than help. So if we're going to be a help to someone, we really need to consider. But don't consider it so long that you don't do it. But in order to be of help to someone, you need to consider, and what I'm doing or what I'm about to do, is it really going to be of help to them, or is this going to cause them more work, more aggravation? So in order to be a help, we have to truly be a help. Now, to be of assistance, to be of support and help to others, we pledge to do that. And it is taught throughout the Scriptures. Not only to brothers and sisters in Christ, especially those of the household of faith, we read in Galatians, especially those of the household of faith, but also to be of assistance to those that we don't know, lost people, to be of assistance to them. But notice in the book of Job, chapter 29, here is an example of true help and really an example of true sympathy, the ability to put yourself in someone else's place. He says in Job 29:15, this is Job speaking, he said, "I was eyes to the blind, and feet was I to the lame." That's help. That's help. To be eyes to the blind, that's help. To be feet to the lame, that's help. "I was a father to the poor, and the cause which I knew not, I searched out." That goes back to observing. Observing need. But there is an example of true help. Then notice in Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58 and verse 7. "Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house, when thou seest the naked, that thou cover him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh?" That you hide not yourself. And that's what happens, man. Again, this gets back to being observant. A lot of times, the reason people do not see need is because they don't want to. Because if they see need and then they don't do anything, they might feel guilty and then they don't want to feel bad. So they just pay no attention. They hide their eyes. And then they have the audacity to say, "Well, no one told me. I had no idea." And the real reason they had no idea is because they don't pay any attention. Because they're too caught up with themselves. In the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 35. Acts 20, verse 35. "I have showed you all things, how that so laboring ye ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive." I have showed you how to, Paul says, to support the weak, to be of assistance, to be of help to them. That's spiritually weak, emotionally weak, physically weak. It's not limited to any particular weakness. Romans chapter 14. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1. "He that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations." Again, if someone's weak in the faith, we ought to seek to strengthen them. Verse 1 of chapter 15, "We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak, And in doing so, we ought not to please ourselves. That is, our goal should not be to please ourselves, which means you might have to cancel your plan. Oh, I'll cancel my plans for family or for those that are in my inner circle. Any lost person can do that. Any lost person can do that. That doesn't make you any better. You're not doing any more than any lost person would do. But to do this for someone that's not in your inner circle. The truth is, all church members ought to be in your inner circle. That's the truth. And because we're a body of Christ. Then notice in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, it's a lot of addictions today, and here's a good addiction to have. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruits of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves. That means they couldn't help themselves. They have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. They have addicted themselves to the aid and the assistance of the saints. They could not help themselves. They had to be of help. Galatians 6, verse 2, bear ye one another's burdens. That, of course, is to be of assistance, to be of help. And then notice in Hebrews chapter 13, in verse 3, remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body. Which gets along with what we'll cover next week, which is Christian sympathy, which is a matter of putting ourselves in someone else's place. Trying to imagine what it must be like for them. So all through the scriptures, we are taught to be of assistance, to be of help to others. And when that is done for the right reasons, there is a great reward. When it's done for the right reasons, and the Lord, who is the reward giver, He knows whether your reasons or your motives are right. He knows. But notice in closing, in Matthew 25, notice the reward if done with a proper motive. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungered, this is Jesus speaking, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. So if we do it for the right motive, it's just like if you were doing it for Jesus Christ Himself. And there is great reward. There is great reward in that. So again, we pledge to be of aid to those who are in sickness and distress. That is our pledge to, again, that should be the pledge of every member to every member. We realize that, of course, some members know other members better than they know others. That's going to always be. But that does not take away our responsibility to all the body. We have a responsibility to all the body. I mean, if we are only of aid and assistance to a select few that we have selected because we have decided they are worthy of our greatness. I mean, that's what it comes down to. And we have this select few, and that's all we minister to. Are you really a good church member? Are you really? No, we're really not. We're failing miserably. If we just minister to a select few, well, they were there for me, so I'm going to be there for them. There you go, keeping score. There you go. Just, well, they weren't there for me. Once again, there you go. Get over yourself and be of aid, be of assistance. And that's something we all need to work at, something we all need to pray that the Lord would help us to be more willing to be of aid and assistance to everyone in the body. Brother Jim, if you'd come, lead us.